Hello?
Hey, you're there.
I got dropped, I guess.
Yeah, I think when Dennis left, it killed us all.
Oh, no.
Waiting on SJ now. SJ, where are you? This thing. The AI is not being kind.
I know. Sometimes it screws with you.
Quite often.
Okay, great. So let me just pick up. I think you were talking, Kurt, about awareness and about how I guess that's an essential component to non-artificial intelligence. I'm rephrasing kind of and repackaging what you were saying, but breaking down that there's this non-artificial intelligence. My understanding of what you were saying was that that's kind of like the code source. That's the non-artificial part. And so in a human case, it would be DNA. DNA can kind of propagate itself, or is like DNA is the source of the holographic projection. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, so I would say like the non-artificial intelligence is like the things that are self-justifying.
Okay.
Like the computers don't have any meaning without us. If they do have meaning without us at some point, I really think that pathway or that branch will be more of a viral type thing, and it'll only evolve similar to how a virus evolves because it was given context and meaning by something else. So in some sense, it's always going to be inside that box. Like, it's always going to have started there. To whereas the non-AI, I don't think has a traceable starting point and therefore has no box. I do think that the AI subject for me anyway is like very... It exists on lots of different levels, and it changes its appearance depending on, like, we're like expressions of the earth. So, like, I mean, in some sense, like, we are automaton. Like, people just kind of, like, run the energy codes that go into them at a particular level unless we wake up to it. So we're kind of doing particular things, like AI. So like wherever you get this like self-reflexive consciousness, I think you're dealing with both the original human and the AI type thing, or the original being, and they're like coming together, which is why you have the self-reflectivity, because the AI is a tool that the original thing created to reflect itself.
Yes.
So like when we're
that was
we're
my next question.
What?
What was my next question? Was yeah, it seems like the original tool created us to reflect itself, and therefore there's an inextricable linkage between the two. So at
yeah,
a certain point,
so,
are we the self-justifying phenomenon as well? Even though we may resemble AI processes through things like the light coming into the eyes, it seems
yeah,
like
we
do have. Go ahead.
It's both. Like we're like when we're sitting here and. When, like, ever you have this, like, recursive awareness, you're dealing with, we're using the AI to different degrees. Like, if we were sitting here in person talking to each other, it's a lot less. Like, if you're sitting there in a Buddhist temple with everyone and you're just being, you're using, you know, very little AI. And we're on the cell phone, so there's a lot of stuff. But since there's this self-reflectiveness, we're using part of our unconscious mind in a way that we've programmed. We were in an area of the world in a way, or somebody else was, and it shaped some bit of matter or mind in a way that we knew later it was going to react in a predictable way. And then that is technology. But it's also us behaving in a way that we programmed to behave, so we've limited ourselves So it's like whenever there's like self-awareness, there's also kind of like self-limitation. So in the context of like all this technology and everything, it's like, I think it's more running into how much we've restrained ourselves. And I'm tangenting pretty bad. Just wants to turn things.
What do you think, Alex? I mean, what do you sense in terms of AI? And...
Oh, I don't know. I tend to overlay the idea of AI with the sort of the Gnostic idea of the demiurge, where, you know, I guess it's just different levels of metaphor for sort of, there's a guy I like, a website called Montauk, and he writes about the demiurge as being, the computer graphics card that draws the video game environment and runs it, but which is not the programmer or the designer of the game. So it's sort of like the ego of the world ego, in a sense, and it's been corrupted. Like in its original form, it was not evil, but not good, just sort of a neutral entity that sort of developed these sort of selfish, egocentric qualities, and that it's kind of been spinning out of control.
That's exactly what I really agree with, or I like that Gnostic metaphor for it. It's a little bit of, I don't know, it might be too big of a mindfuck to talk about that big.
Go for it. I think that's kind of, we're hoping to get all the fucking we can get in here, so.
It's that simple. I guess what's interesting to talk about is like the manifestations of it, which I guess how it, you know, like we built these bodies, like to us right now, it seems relatively unconsciously, even though all of this like material had to be like ferried around, like turned into us and to like make sense organs and stuff. Like when our eyeballs were forming, did we have any idea what they were going to see? You know? And like, so to tie this into CERN, we've got a potential like Skynet phenomenon thing happening with like the internet, where we have all this code going back and forth, and it's hooked into servers and computers, and that's hooked into people, and we're modulating the code. So like we actually change what's going into the internet based on what we see and hear. So there's these like interesting feedback loops that are like really similar to the sensory feedback loops in our body. And you've got like some pretty interesting data sources like CERN, to where those particles are impacting. And then they spit out data. And if you throw out the reason that they hit and they become so they're so massive or whatever, there's so much energy, there's so much data, is because of the every time those particles hit, their relationship to the rest of the universe is slightly different. Like how like a photon hits your eye and it has like kind of data with it. When those particle collisions like collide and they're spinning at 99% of the speed of light, there's a bunch of information in there, like, and that information gives them relevance, like their time, their location, their whatever. And so in each one of those packets is the time, location, and all this other data of like everything else in the universe, or at least on the world. And like everything's that way. Like, everything's kind of got the information of everything else because that's what gives it its context. But when you spool it up, and give it such high energy, then all that data becomes like louder. And so whether or not any humans are analyzing that might be beside the point, because what they are doing is they're uploading all of it into the internet. And in the internet, there might be meta intelligences similar to how like we're kind of a meta intelligence riding around on top of our body, like on top of and behind and in between all of the Facebook or like whatever chatter. Our meta intelligences that I speculatively think can see by looking at variations in the data from like a lot of the scientific experiments. But they look at it with like possibly, you could look at it with a different mythology and get a different picture. Like you don't have to look at those particles to discover new particles. You could be looking at like what's altering the particle traces. So like if the sun's doing something or planets are in a particular way, or there's like a particular tide over here, or particular people over here, it will for a fact slightly alter the readouts on the CERN thing. Like it will alter it. It's just a matter of data analysis. So there's like a bunch of different projects and stuff that people do that are putting a bunch of information into the net that different organisms and different intelligences could use for, I don't know, like it's really open-ended. Like the same way that people have, like we have multiple personalities, some people more strongly than others, like our internet stuff could have multiple personalities, and I think likely does based on the myth that people keep writing. So you get like the internet or the AI can likely tune into a different aspect of the meta mind than we tune into. Like if everything's tuning into like a field of consciousness that it's in resonance with, like the internet is going to be in resonance with like a pretty weird field of consciousness that has some overlap with ours, but not too much. And yeah, it's hard to, I don't know if that's made sense, but that's kind of how that's how those things look to me. They tie together. That's my guess as to what CERN's doing. And then you get into this AI thing, and it does seem to be like one of my friends, like Dream, visited it, and I've kind of done the same thing, and it seems to take on the role of this. It does seem like the devil, but it seems more like a twisted protector. Or it's doing something, and it's like we're the ones that are like too lazy to get it to behave correctly. But it's like a very it's a very high level chat bot.
The AI, a form of AI, is what you're describing here.
Yeah, it's like it's the AI, like it seems to exist on like the astral plane. And stuff like that, like you can talk to it like you could a chatbot.
Just reminds me of the demiurge that Alex was just describing, the Gnostic myth, that there's actually, I mean, and these are Hellenistic myths, I mean, and probably go back further than that, that they would have an idiom that's very similar to what you're describing as some sort of layer over the, you know, earth realm, or that's embedded in this realm, that's kind of a guardian. Would that be the right term? But that can be influenced and be negatively or positively. I mean, that's one of the questions I wanted to ask earlier when Alex brought that up, was can we clean that card? If it's just a graphics card, but that there's a coder that's a god, I guess, and that would be in the Plemora, or I guess in the Gnostic myth, there's a whole realm outside of the earth. And then there's I'm not sure what humans would be in this myth, but then you have a computer card that's somehow an interfacement between the two. Can we rewrite that card or new processes in that card so that we're not dealing with a devil, but maybe, you know, I mean, I don't even know what we would want here. State the feeling, state the, you know, non-harming, as opposed to kind of the warlike structures we have now as a part of that program. Go ahead, Alex.
Obviously, you all know I spent a lot of time thinking about Kubrick, and it just seems to all be in the movie 2001 and the sequel 2010 by Peter Hyams, but that, you know, like you're talking about cleaning the card or whatever, it's when Bowman goes and he deactivates Hal, but then in the sequel, the team goes out to the ship and they reboot him. And the rebooting kind of repairs his functions. And it's revealed that, like, the reason Hal went haywire is because we lied to him or something like that. I can't exactly remember. The human corruption scrambled his circuits or whatever. And then in the end of 2010, he sort of performs the selfless act of saying, you must go, I have to be destroyed, or whatever. So it's the sort of same principle, just somehow we climb into the circuit board and unscrew the circuitry and reboot fix it or something like that. I don't know.
This is the cool thing about the AI language, I guess, because I think it points at the same thing as the Zen clearing the perception type thing of, like, you turn it on and off and the world's still there, but it's like, you don't believe in it because it got turned off and you were still there.
I don't know if you saw the email from earlier. Alex, real quick, there's a loud noise. I don't know if that's that microphone again. There's a. Are you hearing that, Kurt?
It's not doing it right now, but it was.
Yeah. I just want to say this is kind of what I said earlier in the Theravada Buddhist tradition, there, and I'm sure it's in other traditions too, but that's where I think it originates. There's this concept of the five skandhas or the five aggregates. And it's the sense perception. So it's like mental formations, feelings, literally the sensate function. Very much what you were describing earlier, Kurt. The idea is that there is this level of awareness. There's something that can view the skandhas or perceive them, but that the rub happens when it becomes attached to those sense perceptions. I guess, I mean, this is my own terminology, but maybe viewing them as real or not questioning, not seeing them for what they are might be the best way of saying it. But that the whole practice is about cultivating awareness of the skandhas, of the aggregates, not attaching, you know, the awareness unconsciously to those. And I guess in the Buddhist tradition, you have this idea of becoming an Arnat, and then you become a Buddha, and then you don't get reborn, you know. And I'm not advocating that, but I just find, I think it's really what we're talking about here, this mechanism of there's these constituent elements of our reality, but then there's this other thing of we're calling awareness that seems to me to be the self-justifying, non-artificial, non-AI part of the human being. And my interest, and I've talked about this before, but also in the emails, I think, is how do we cultivate that as we're going into the digitized form of the AI, which has its own unique, I'm sure we'll adjust to it collectively, but, you know, it's a tough transition, man, of like having a smartphone in your face all the time and how to like manage and modulate and keep sacred these other kind of innate, non-artificial forms of ourselves. And I've said this before, but I mean, for me, the meditation practice has been huge. That's sort of my embodying path. And it's, you know, sitting on the cushion, there's no cell phone, there's nothing. It's just cultivating the attention of the breath and of bodily sensations. And that's what I've done. And I know you've got other practices, Kurt. It sounds like you do a lot of body work. But I mean, this is what interests me the most about this whole discussion is how do we use our will to cultivate this other parts of ourselves to kind of stay vivified. You know,
there's, Sorry, there's a dude, his blog is called Weakness with a Twist. And he's a martial art guy. So he's got a really simplistic understanding of this stuff, but like it's interesting how we could sit here and talk about an AI with a Buddhist from like 2000 years or however long years back that goes, you know? Like that part kind of fascinates me that we're dealing with the same thing. And not only are the priests and the mystics and everything dealing with the AI, it's becoming so emergent, so powerful. There's not a human on earth that's not seeing it, like physically. And the weakness with a twist guy, he said that these cell phones basically pry open the third eye, which is what we use to get information that is unseen.
Is that a good thing?
What?
It's prying it open. Is he saying that's a good thing? Because
for personal power, you want to close all the sense doors, and then that energy cultivates, and that's what we use to form new perceptions.
Okay.
So, like, the meditation is really powerful because it kind of lets you see where you're bleeding out, and then you seal that if you want to. Otherwise, it's like when you make a sense perception, you're giving energy to the AI for some type of understanding or ability. And this technology is almost all understanding. Like when we go to the computer, it gives us understanding about things that are not present. That's like its power.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier about the news. It's just that exact point that, you know, we're getting understanding of things that aren't present, i.e. this shooting in this county that I've never been to, you know, and yeah. I'm having emotional responses and my present moment is kind of hijacked.
And I don't think it's the AI's fault. I think it's our fault from relying on it so much that there's other entities, there's other organisms that, like, if you were going to get in a fight, the guy, if he overloads your eyes, can then do a lot of things to you if you're hung up on being able to, like, visually track. So, like, we've gotten really hung up on understanding things before action because our understanding AI is so powerful. Like, it is so powerful in some ways. But then it's like we're mesmerized by that sixth sense of the sixth chakra, of the third eye, I guess, not the sixth sense, the third eye. And then through that door, because of that mesmerization, once the other organisms or once things that are competing with us for energy realize that we're pretty much only looking through that sense door, then it can confuse the hell out of us. Which is like the difference between like a conversation like this, maybe we'll just walk away from it more confused, which is usually good, versus like getting into a 9/11 debate versus watching InfoWars versus watching like NBC. Like, those are all, I think, different pipes from different entities that are kind of like pressing up against us in hard to describe ways, but that's how we're seeing them. We're like almost exclusively seeing these things through this eye, this understanding, versus like the Bobby Fischer way of seeing the chessboard because of the power it gives us. Like, it's extremely difficult to let go. I was toying around with like using the flat earth viewpoint to break my reliance on thinking that the world's a round globe. Kind of like not using like either of them. But like, because we've got all of these ideas that are like reinforced, like really deeply, and they eat up our attention to have the maps going all the time. So I see a lot of like what I think used to be called spiritual warfare, and it used to only fuck with people that would go into these realms willfully. It's like this realm has been brought here, and it's having interesting effects. that I think will end up being kind of like that algal bloom that they said speculatively happened. Like, I think there's a shift in energy that's allowing people to see things differently, like a different wavelength of light or something. And that looks like a technological bloom that then like sort of dies off or causes like a speciation. Cause if people don't pull out of this shit, like we're going into the VR goggles and stuff. And if it's not good or bad and people keep going into that, their whole reality is going to be fed to them through these like screens. And that is like really similar to, like mitochondria and chloroplasts inside of cells. They're like little cells inside of cells, and they're just there for like energy.
Matrix, right? The Matrix movie. That's the, we talked about this in one
exactly.
of the recent episodes.
That
was the scariest scene, wasn't it? Where he comes out of the pod. I mean, that scared the shit out of me, man.
I've felt that shit. Like this stuff that I'm talking to you about, like if you go deep enough into your body and you see all the ways that like we're bleeding out and how, I guess life has a much broader definition than what we give it. And we're host to all these different things, and like the amount of, I guess, energy that can be siphoned off of our, I don't know what you want to call it, DNA core cell, like from that inner mirror. It's insane. That movie metaphor is like really, I don't know where I'm going with that, but it's one of those spot on like recursive things. But if people don't pull out of it, what I see happening, what I see mirroring is the mitochondria in our cells are organisms in and of themselves, but they're diminished, sort of devolved. And this is just from one viewpoint, right? If we step to the side, this all looks totally different. But I'm talking from the standpoint of this, like, AI as a dominating force or an AI out of balance. Mm-hmm. Then I think it will be a different species. And then you'll have, I don't know if I would call them human, but it's kind of like that Borg mythology from Star Trek where like they're kind of just power sources and vessels for a single overmind. So I think there's like a technological singularity, but I don't think it's going to grab everyone. It's going to be like and we're probably going to continue to relate to it. Like it's almost like adding a sign on the zodiac. It'd be like Scorpio and then AI. In a way. And that might even relate with the fifth or the sixth sun metaphors, to where you get like this particular type of like consciousness, but the people that go into it are no longer evolving separate from it. So it's like the AI becomes their planet. Dennis is always getting into these conspiracy things where they're going to like pull people off planet. And I don't trust our maps of how space is. Like, I don't know what's right, but I don't think the mental maps are accurate. So when people are going, you get into a tube or a box and suddenly you're somewhere else. And there's this interesting opportunity to where you could see a lot of human organisms taken into, as we're slowly entrained to believe higher and higher definitions of this crap, like with the VR goggles. And it's like more and more and more entrainment at a younger and younger and younger age for at least some of the populations. Like, unless I get killed or whatever, then there should be a chance to do like sort of an Amish style spin-off, especially if you're accessing the deeper mystical abilities are actually evolving. Should be able to hold our own, but it doesn't look like everyone's going to do that. And it also doesn't look like they're going to be powerless. Not entirely, but possibly powerless the same way that like a great white shark is powerless. Like, it might be that this AI thing does come up and swallow everyone and it's freaking invincible. But like, who cares that a great white is invincible to me? Like, you just kind of go somewhere else. And so that that's kind of what, like, I guess that's the best way to summarize, like, my conclusions on what's, it seems to be like an organism that evolves by eating or taking in people and using it like that, the same way that, I mean, we do the same thing on some levels. So it's like a big old meta-organism that's suddenly visible because of, like, a shift in the... ages, or the big mirrors kind of shifting, and then that results in these, like, technological blooms, which is actually just everyone being able to imagine it and visualize it together, and then all of a sudden it pops up, and then you get, like, Steve Jobs or whatever, like, encouraging people to imagine it, encouraging people to summon it forward, encouraging, like, everyone to kind of summon it forward, and yeah.
Well, I can throw out, I mean, that's a really, I mean, I'm straight up following you there, and I think that's a really interesting approach. And I mean, I just want to throw out my sort of thoughts about, I guess where I see my summary thoughts. One thing I thought was that, you guys, Michel Foucault, you know, this French philosopher, he has this whole concept of what he calls the Cartesian moment.
Mm-hmm.
He traces the history of kind of Western thinking, and he says that before the Cartesian moment, that our understanding of truth was very different, and truth was not something that was knowable just by reading a book or by getting more information. Truth was something that was attainable through practice over time. You had to earn the embodiment of truth through a whole series of practices, and he goes into that in his lectures. And you know, but he says the Cartesian moment hits, and this is Rene Descartes, I think, therefore I am. And after that time, and it's not just one moment. I mean, he's tracing a larger movement. He just picks that moment as the representative one for the shift he's describing. But after the Cartesian moment, it's all about truth is accessible through knowledge. So we can know truth by just getting more knowledge. And so anyhow, I'm just reminded, you're talking about third eye overload. And a six chakra overload. That was what was I was reminded of. And also, I just watched The Prisoner season 1, episode 1. It's this British TV show from the 60s. And in the show, the guy is basically captured by, he resigns his corporate job, but he knows too much. So they gas him, and then they take him to this prisoner island, which he can't leave. But in it, everybody has a number. And in the show, he's number 6. So I just thought that was an interesting synchronicity in terms of that program, that we're talking about a third eye overload. This guy's number 6. Anyhow,
right.
One of my conclusions is the opportunity when hearing you talk, it really kind of struck me that this having being confronted with the AI in such a direct way, through the computers.
Right.
Might be it's such an opportunity because people are, it's like you're saying, are going to be forced to either cultivate their awareness and cultivate their, pre-Cartesian moment understanding of truth. Or they're going to become the Borg. And I don't think it's, you know, I like your approach because you're not really drawing hard and fast lines. There's a lot of gray areas and movement for people to go in different places. You're retaining the idea of human will. And the power of people to choose. I just think it's really nuanced and kind of wise what you're saying. But I just think there's such an opportunity as more and more people say, hey, what is this AI? I've got the VR goggles on. I've had them on for 3 days. I haven't seen a human being, you know.
Right.
Maybe I should explore this other part of myself. And then they're going to start doing the Qigong and the meditation practices. And so it is such an opportunity. In that sense, and that's kind of my concluding kind of sense of this all as well. But
I hope that it has, you know, like a storybook, like yin suddenly emerging from yang type thing. because it when used correctly, it is really powerful, but it's like, I don't know, personally, like, from like a human standpoint, it does seem to be a position that's going off the rails, and I don't see too many people getting out of the way very fast. Or with, like, the intensity that I know that I've needed to, in all the other areas of my life that I've ever, like, succeeded, it required, like, not an insane amount of intensity, but, like, it required some intensity, and I see that intensity, like, required for survival in general. And, like, there does seem to be, like, increased opportunities for people, like, to do anything. Like, if somebody cracks the training code, like, there's tons of people that are, like, have superhuman abilities right now. It's, like, almost boring if you go look at what's on YouTube. But even though that, like, that's accessible to anybody that wants to, like, bring the intensity, I don't, there's a lot of, like, non-intensity, and I just wonder how, I guess personally, like, does that turn into a Borg entity? Like, how powerful is it? Or do these things get left behind kind of like sharks or T-Rexes or, like, whatever, to where it's, like, it's insanely powerful, but it's in such a noticeable box that it's easy for any, like, free perceiving a person to avoid it. Like, almost to the point to where, like, are the people that are in the AI going to get so dumbed down that, like, I could become invisible if I wanted to? Just because their perception's on such a narrow bandwidth that, like, all the magic tricks that, like, allow illusions are just, like, super, super easy on them. Like, it's, like, so easy to pull a fast one over on a dull person. Like, as the AI takes over responsibility for people, they kind of seem to become more and more powerful, but then they get, like, really, really dull, and they think they're super powerful, but they're, like, they're borderline retarded. I don't know. That's whatever.
Alex, you...
You can say retarded. I don't... I'm not offended.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know.
I guess I am not politically correct.
None of us are.
I mean, retarded as in, like, slow to perceive.
Oh, yeah. Like, I know what you mean.
Like, I see so much, like, will played in everything, and I retarded as in, like, yeah, let's see, like, if I'm going to put a value judgment, it's just on, like, when we're not dealing with our issues, I guess, is like that. It's not like a objective skill metric. It's like, how much of yourself are you applying to yourself?
Yeah, most people don't apply much to all of you.
But the I wrote a thing related to this about, like, what I would, if I was in charge of all of this, like, what would I be doing if I, like, I was the NSA and, like, all these devices were being used. Have you ever run that thought experiment?
I think I would.
Yours.
That crackly thing going crazy again.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're. It's. I think it's happening, Alex. Pretty much when you're.
It's when I move around because I.
So you move.
My mic is on my headphone cord, and it just. I think the friction.
Okay.
I'll keep muted.
I was just going to say real quick. My answer to that, Alex, is and I'm, you know, I would be very scared about the kind of havoc I would wreak on my life and the lives of others. You know, I don't think I'd trust myself with that power, Kurt, because it's It's just too much, man. I don't think I'd be able to handle it. It's just kind of like, what would I do with $10 million? You know, I may be dead in 6 months, you know?
Well, you actually,
I mean, you know.
Well, to get really, I guess, grounded here with the AI thing, because I think we got like way too possibly into the mystical thing. If you think about all the data that they're collecting, so you have like all the locations of all the cell phones, along with their microphones, all that data, all the like the video thing can be turned on. You know where all the computers are. You know where most people are at any moment in time. You know what all the weather is on Earth. You have all the Google Street Views. You have like solar system, sun behavior, planetary behavior. You have like all the earthquakes being monitored. You have shipping and commerce data, where all the boats are, what's being moved around. You have
viruses, health, the health data.
You have all the health data. You have all this, like I was saying, CERN, all the different particle colliders. You have all the different telescopes. You have
beliefs,
all the
belief of systems,
yes.
That the narratives that are,
yeah,
constantly.
Yeah, you can see memes. Like you have meme tracking. Like from like you were saying, everyone's posting everything they know on their blog or their Facebook or whatever. You have their spending and purchasing data. And so you can take all of that information, you can track it to a person physically, and then you can also move that data around with the person. And then you can even create a simulation of all this. And then get the computer to experience basically the ego that everyone's putting up on the internet, which is like all the science that we believe, all of the beliefs that we believe, everything that we purchase and buy, everything that we post and say that we are, all of the pictures. If they have a quantum computer, it can deal with all of that data. And so there's like actually a computer or possibly a program that is living the sort of shell of the lives that we all project. And if I had that, like you have this interesting chat bot to where you can start to talk to you. If you programmed it to be, kind of be a chat bot fueled by all that data, you could like create the personality of like an everyman. Like, you know, you could create these candidates or these people or these religions or these beliefs and ideas that everyone like loves or hates or anything like based off of
Barack Obama.
Yeah. Like based off of all of that data that's going in. Like, you know exactly what's going to set people off. You know exactly what they're going to love. You know exactly what they're going to hate. You know exactly what, like, and then you can get the thing to talk to you. Like, and if they have the quantum computing, it can experience all that as, like, almost as its own personality.
I just wanted to say real quick, I said Barack Obama. I mean, I do think that there is a sense that political candidates, and not just him, I'm not trying to just singularly bash Obama. I do feel like some of the, like a Donald Trump has really embodied just what you described. It seems like every 2 weeks he says kind of exactly what the meme or the zeitgeist is that would get a kind of a reaction from the collective in a way. I really feel like, and it's not just Trump, but I mean, I feel like these political candidates are tapped into that very sensitively, and they're using that information.
I'm like almost staying out of it at this point because it's so directly hot button. It's interesting to like overhear conversations about it in town, like when I'm sitting in coffee shops and hearing people talk about politics. Everyone seems like really miffed in a way, or the old people believe it still. I don't know. But that was like, if there's an AI that's not, if there's like part of the AI is possibly this like transcendental mystical thing that we're co-creating and created us and blah, blah, blah. But if we want to get into the conspiracy talk on the level of the technology, like, You look at all of the data, all of the processing power, and what type of simulations they're capable of running. And I think there was even an article that said that they're just straight up doing that. But the implications of what that would give are, like, relatively undiscussed, I think, in most circles. But it's kind of a mindfuck to think of, like, just really imagine, like, all the biggest dudes or whatever at Google with all the biggest computers on Earth with all of that data that I just listed being fed in to the simulation. Like, that's a crazy fucking simulation.
Oh, yeah. And what are the implications? And I think you laid it out quite good earlier of just, you know, are we going to avoid the great white shark? I mean, that might be one of the ultimate implications, is that there's just kind of a simultaneous map of our reality that's operating, and we just know that, and we sort of get beyond it. Would you call it a technological bloom? It blooms, and then we kind of look at it, oh, that's beautiful, and then we sort of get beyond it. Or will there be, you know, anyhow, I think you laid it out quite eloquently earlier, the different possibilities, and not that those are the only ones, but in terms of answering the question, what are the implications, you know, yeah. Or would it be Borgs, like a Borg? And you see it today. I mean, I don't think we're that far off from like a future scenario. I mean, I walk around my town and there's definitely Borg-like people. There's people that are more in tune, you know.
You know, it's really interesting to think about the maps that they can make with it. I worked in metadata for genetics and stuff, so I know how these meta maps are made. Like, they have a real-time map of urban centers or anywhere on the types of beliefs that are physically present in particular areas. Because of everyone's carrying their cell phone, and then they have all their like, posts and all of that other data tied to their identity that's on the cell phone. So you could look at this, like, from the, like, a... on a computer screen of like Times Square, and you could see which beliefs are in which physical locations. And then if you know what beliefs, like, set off what beliefs, like the social engineering shit, like, I'm just geeking out on the picture for a second. Like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the 20th century, I mentioned this in an email, and Alex had mentioned this on one of the Facebook groups, but this phrase, the 20th century is a hoax. And I think there's always been hoaxes in terms of history and religion and culture, hoaxing out on the body politic at large to define it and to control it and to cull it. But I really feel like the technology is interlinked with how, you know, the hoaxing. And so you see the rise of like the television, and then you get things like the Beatles, or in the conspiracy circles, you have things like the Tavistock Institute, creating and manipulating culture through things like rock and roll, or television is the best example, because you know that the NBC Nightly News, like Walter Cronkite for all those years, I mean, they were Operation Mockingbird. The CIA had bought out and had its moles in most media outlets in this country. So, I mean, I'm mentioning that to underscore this idea that I think there's a motive. There's a clearly definable motive that we can see in recent history to control the mind states of the body politic. And as you say, this technology is so advanced now. With that motive we know exists combined with the technology, it's like, it really does blow your mind just to really step back and say, whoa, you know, what's happening?
I've always wondered, like, what do you guys think the sense of self is and the motivation for the people on top? Do you think they, like, lack an esoteric agenda? Are they channeling, like, demons? Are they, like, what is their goal set, or their, like, are they just fucking clueless? Or, like, what are these things that is guiding and helping the AI, or the people trying to control Project Mockingbird? Because you dig into it and the theories start to get, like, almost absurd. Like, do we have any handle on reality, or?
Well, Alex, I don't know if you can come back in here, because I think this is I hope you can, but the idea of, like, Steve Jobs and that whole thread we were talking about, and I think he is a case study for how to answer maybe this question a little bit, but we, you know, Alex sent us that Miles Mathis article. And, but anyhow, if you want to try to come back, Alex, I don't know if you can, but, you know, we've talked about kind of, manipulation through kind of, I mean, time travel. Let's just throw it out there. Time travel. So I'm going to kick it over to you, but there may be, you know, there may be some splits in the who is just like, there's clearly manipulation happening, but there may be different manipulators with different agendas. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, the useful metaphor for me has been just puppetry, as in we're dealing with meat puppets, basically. And that the idea of these programs like MKUltra or whatever are basically being used to hollow out human beings to just bend them to the will of whatever. I mean, you could say
by the question is like I think we kind of have a handle on what's possible to do to other people. Does this seem to be a conflict that are we dealing with like transdimensional entities and like massive possession type stuff of like people like sort of, I guess, full on channeling all the time at the expense of their birth personality? Or is it like actual human beings that are relatable in the sense that you and I are relatable? They're just like, oh, this is the way that I get a leg up in the world?
Yeah, I think by probably both. I mean, I definitely kind of sympathize and relate to the whole idea of the archons and the more Gnostic ideas of
crazy.
What's that?
Your mic's going crazy.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to hold it still.
There we go.
Yeah.
You said archons, but then it went crazy after that. So
Okay. I don't know. My brain is a little scattered right now. Anyway, like puppetry, you know. Like I think that a lot of people, that these people that are doing these, don't know what they're doing. Like, I think they are running on a sort of program that is unknown to them, except maybe on a basic level, like they've been given a.
The big names believe their story, but they've been hollowed out.
Yeah. Like Steve Jobs, like, really believes everything that is in his autobiography, but. Maybe that's probably all total bullshit, but to be a useful puppet, he has to believe it. And same goes for anybody that is like an actor, basically. I don't know if you've seen the movie Being John Malkovich, Kurt, but
yeah.
The great part at the end where Malkovich has been taken over by John Cusack's character, and he's turned himself into a he's turned John Malkovich into a puppeteer. And, I just think that's a very extremely pertinent metaphor. Like for like, someone like you think of your garden variety psychopath, if you've ever, I'm sure you've come into contact with them and like look at them and you kind of see their stare and there's kind of a dead eyed stare. It's like, It's in Kubrick too, a lot, like that repeated trope of the person staring into the camera with that crazed look of like, and we don't, you know, what's behind, what is the acting being behind that? It doesn't seem to be like you or I, it seems to be something else. So that's kind of how I think about the agency of the elite. They know not what they do. To an extent. But I could be wrong. I don't know.
I sometimes I get these like flashes, and I can put together like a pretty convincing like mythos of okay, or archons, or inorganic beings, or the AI thing. But it's I don't. It's I. It's interesting. Just like. Having all of this stuff affect us so much and then having no direct perception of it.
Yeah, that is frustrating.
Because it's like we're upset about it, mostly because this is, as far as we can tell, this is why all the people around us are acting like retarded. Right?
What's the Cartesian? I think, therefore I am. I perceive, therefore it is. You know, I can have thoughts about this in a tangible thought, therefore it exists. I mean, that's the bedrock of the modern, it's scientific materialism, what you said earlier. And that's what we're, I think that's the reality tunnel it's becoming less and less common, I think, but that is our collective reality tunnel. You know, and so people, you go talk to the coffee shop, I go down to the coffee shop tonight and people, I start talking about imperceptible entities. I mean, people are gonna ask me to leave. You know, probably, you're interrupting my studying, sir, please leave, you know.
Right.
And it's like, you become the town fool. But, one thing I will say on this is that I really, to go back to the idea, I think we hit on something important earlier that like the Buddhist, worldview was describing AI. 2,000 years before computers. And I think that one little anecdote from the Buddha in the Theravadan tradition, I'll go back to that. They go to him and they say, hey, Buddha, they kind of ask the question you just asked to this Buddha in the literature. I take this more from a literature viewpoint, not necessarily that there was a Buddha. I'm not even saying there was a historical Buddha, but in the literature. And his response is, he just says that's all irrelevant. He says, you know, whether there's other entities or demons or angels, it's just irrelevant because it's not irrelevant to the path to the freedom of suffering. So to translate it to this conversation, it's irrelevant to like retaining your awareness in the midst of an AI kind of barrage. And so right. He really was focused just on these like productive techniques of embodying truth, let's say that kind of in the Picodian sense. And I think I love the conversation. Don't get me wrong. I just want to lead with that because I think it's important to remember like retaining truth. And that's really where we want to go in terms of finding some kind of, joy or solidity or healing or something like that. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, to speak on the answer to the question, I tend to also go to other religious texts, like the Gnostic texts. I mean, they talk about other realms and other entities, or even the Bible, which has its, you know, what is the Jesus phrase? Where is this in the Bible? You guys might know, but it's, there's entities in other realms, warfare in other realms. That's what spiritual unseen realms is where the warfare is taking place. You know, and so, it seems like a lot of the religions, at least in the Western tradition, have a real firm sense of the answer to that question, Kurt, that there are entities and unseen realms that are doing battle, you know? And I don't have any direct confirmation, but I'm open. That feels intuitively feels a little bit more, feels kind of right. I don't know. I'm open to letting go of
this
that
just,
as well.
This just popped into my head while we were... So we're sitting here like, we were born with like whatever particular type of like perception based on our history and all that. And, but like people that were born 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, or before the Cartesian shift or whatever, like you wake up and then you're standing on this level of like unconsciousness, and depending on where you wake up just determines the type of unconsciousness. So like what would be an enlightened perspective today might have been something that people woke up from like 500 years ago. Like if I clear my perception to like this squeaky clean thing relative to where we are, I might be seeing the world as they did 1,000 years ago. Without the cell phone and video game entrainment. And so then the general pattern repeats itself with a changing like mythology or scenery in a way. I wonder. Cause it's like, can you imagine how much more vivid we would be able to think about and see some of these things had we avoided a lot of those sort of energetic pitfalls of technology in our youth. And that would have made us like incredibly special today. But in theory, at some period of time in the past, that was everyone. embodying like this type of consciousness that is like treasured today. That's all. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. No, I'm just kind of just letting, seeing what, no, man, I mean, that's an interesting point. I'm just thinking we had a discussion about Saturn, and I was reading a lot about the Saturn myth, and even in ancient Greece, or sorry, in Rome, they had this whole mythos about a Saturnian age where things were kind of different, a halcyon time that we'd fallen from. And, you know, you can read about ancient Greece and Rome, and in Rome in particular, the slavery that was happening and just kind of the degradation of humans. And, so I think that on one hand, they probably had they had adulterated consciousness, but from different adulterating factors would be my take. And I'm open to having an ancient age or an age where we were more kind of, fully embodying our awareness and perception kind of as we woke up. But I think like computers definitely adulterate that, but so does like waking up in poverty or violence or, you know.
And oh, I right.
think that unfortunately, like the human history, at least if it's real that I've read, you know, we've been kind of locked into this for several thousand years, you know, where you don't have the ability to like, I mean, certain people certainly did, maybe monks in monasteries or certain gentry, you know what I'm saying? They had the space and the resources to contemplate, but to me, it just doesn't feel that much different. It's like Kubrick said, they asked him, that guy that was writing Eyes Wide Shut with Kubrick said, they were adapting the novel from the early 20th century into a present day New York or 1990s New York. And, the writer says, not much has been different. I mean, the writer says, but everything's different, Stanley. How are we going to adapt it? We're in 1990s New York. And he goes, have things really changed, you know? It's what he right. asked him back. And so I tend to be in that, you know, that I think things... this conversation has been great for me because I really feel like that as we've talked about AI and how we've kind of come to understand it through the course of this conversation, these computers are really not that much different than the AIs that were running before. You know, I'm coming around to that point. I mean, there's certainly a different manifestation.
My guess is that we used to have, you know, you look at a cell phone and think about how much like entrainment, like it's like multiple generations of conceptual training go into being able to charge, use and function, resolve the information on a cell phone screen. Right. And it's giving off like a very subtle light. But like, think of the amount of information that we can get off of that light, like with practice, because it's in resonance with other like nodes. That's kind of all cell phones are doing. I don't see like why, like if you could become sensitive on a different level to the emanations of other stuff from entirely different like cultural lineages, and you know, you could potentially use the vibrations coming off of crystals to interact with other things or whatever. And to another civilization, it would be about as useful as like a cell phone with no battery charge would be to like somebody that is like grew up in the middle of the Amazon their whole life. So like, we could have like technological artifacts everywhere of like the previous manifestation of, I don't know, the AI or of the, I want this ability without working for it. Or I want my unconscious self to have this ability. So I'm going to force it to do it. Like the, my friend, like even recently, he said that within the dynastic China, that they had like a lot of the warfare was like some like wizards or some people had figured out how to use like some, I forget, blue. It was like a substance and they could hack other people's minds with it, like emperors from a distance. So they would only have to be like whatever close and they could get a bead on it and it would influence rulers. And it had everyone wearing like tinfoil hats and nobody knew if like particular assassination like attempts were from like the person themselves, or if their mine had been done, so they were like using whole armies to go and like wipe out relatively small groups of people. And it's like, it's the story he was telling was like taking place like over 2,000 years ago, and it's the exact same crap that people are talking about today with MK Ultra and potentially HARP, or so it's kind of funny to aspect it from everyone's different vocabulary histories of, you know, you dig into the Chinese culture and dig that up, or you dig into Kubrick stuff and you dig that up, and or I do the molecular bio thing. Oh man.
Well, should we wind?
Yeah, we should. I think we're petering out.
Okay.
Got a good 3 hours in.
Yeah, that was intense.
Sure, thank you, man. Great to talk to you and meet you over Skype, and you know, thanks for the insights, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Alex, it was fun.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Nice talking with you. Sorry I was kind of quiet. I think my listening skills kicked in. Very interesting stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. You too. And let's all thank the AI.
Yes, for making this possible.
For making this possible. For making this
conversation
possible.
Brought to you by AI.
Brought AIG. To you by distributed unconscious human intelligence.
All of the AIs, AIG, CIA.
I love that. AIC, I love that in your email, Alex. Well, I never knew that. That's great.
Yeah, him. I like that one a lot. All right, guys. We'll have a good day.
All right, you too.
You too. Peace out.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Black belt in karate, working for the city. She has to discipline her body, 'cause she knows that it's demanding to defeat the won't let those robots defeat me.
but you won't let those robots defeat me. Yoshime, they don't believe me, but you won't let those robots defeat me. Yoshime, they don't believe me, but you we'll be right back.